Episode 179. Welcome to Steel and Naz. Today is Wednesday, January 8th. And me and Steel, alone in the studio here. Magic had the blues, something to do. What's going on, Steel?
Yeah, it's frosty outside. Real frosty outside.
I do not approve of going out there pouring milk on your head or anything like that.
No, great day to be in a studio.
Yeah, we have a big interview tonight with Charlie Moore Outdoor. Growing up on Nesson, Matt Fisherman.
You've seen commercials. Come on now. Absolute beast.
You know, also produced Bruins Academy, Inside the Bee, a bunch of different stuff on this. And we got to the inside and out, not just on fishing, but entertainment in general.
Yeah. No, incredible. What an entertainer.
We're also in the back end. We're going to talk about the Patriots firing Gerard Mayo and who is going to be the head coach to replace him. We obviously don't know that, but we are going to speculate the hell out of it.
No, we know. We know.
Also, we'll give you our NFL wildcard weekend picks. There's six on the slate with the Chiefs and the Lions getting a bye. So before we spin it to interview, I just want to give a big shout out to the sponsor, the law office of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. If you're looking for legal representation to help you lock down, you know, whether it's buying a house, you know, real estate law, that's mainly what I see. Or, you know, if you're just trying to, you know, find a good guy in this world. Patrick J. Foley, he's got you.
All of them. And I can do it all.
We're going to spin it to the Charlie Moore Outdoor interview. Here we go. We're now joined by the outdoorsman, Charlie Moore Outdoor, if that's the right avenue to go down. How's it going tonight? And, you know, a little too cold right now to be out on the water, but how have your plans been in terms of fishing and just lifestyle?
Yeah, so you nailed it on the head there. It's a little too cold to be on the water.
Not right now.
So, yeah, obviously I'm working on my Bruins shows, you know, doing a lot of the Bruins behind the bee, Bruins Academy right now, full swing. And then we're traveling from my, you know, my shows, Charlie Moore Outdoors, Charlie Moore No Offense, nationally, and then the other shows that I have. So kind of like, you know, when it comes to the outdoors, we're kind of like moving around the dial. We're into the warm weather, which is still actually cold in Florida right now.
Yeah,
so
brutal, I heard.
Yeah.
I was about to say, yeah, like this time of year, you're just like, all right, let's take the show as far away from here as I possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah, we obviously have a schedule that's set, you know, months in advance. But yeah, I mean, obviously we try to hit the warmer weather and have a little bit of fun in, you know, Texas, you know, and Florida and, you know, islands, whatever it may be. But, you know, fresh off the holiday run, you know, kind of getting our feet under us for 2025 and getting ready to go.
That's great.
Nice.
You know, growing up watching Red Sox games, Bruins games on Nesson, saying like after stay tuned or go in the morning, Charlie Moore Outdoor will be on. How did that kind of originate and how did you get yourself into there?
Well, I started on Nesson in 1996.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. Probably forgot more than I remember. But you know, look, it's been a good run with Nesson. It's it went from Nesson to ESPN to NBC, and I've been with Nesson. This is my 29th year. So starting it, I mean, yeah, it went from the Front Row magazine program with Tom Caron and I. I think we're the longest tenure on the network. I think Tom has me by a couple of months.
What a stat. But,
yeah, so yeah, it's evolved. You know what I mean? It's been great, but it's evolved over the years. It's crazy. Like I said, you know, I've probably forgotten more than I remember at this point, which is crazy.
I was going to say, because I was like looking at the people you had on like throughout the years, and I don't know if it was before Tom Brady, it was actually Tom Brady, but just like having Ray Bourque, Brady, or like Jason Veritek on your airwaves. Like, you remember like the best presence on your program as a guest and like any cool times that, you know, you got to live out with, you know, a couple of these athletes and legends?
Yeah, I mean, it's all cool, you know? I mean, I don't really put the show in that category as far as like, you know, that makes the episode, because there's certainly a lot of great names that suck. So just because you got a great name on doesn't mean that the show is going to be good, because if you suck, you suck, right? So, or you're a dick or whatever the hell it may be.
Yeah.
So it's more along the lines of just synergy and people connecting and having a good time and, you know, something about being out in the outdoors, or whether it's that or skeet shooting or just having some good food, you know, it's outside their element of the locker room, of the field. And, you know, you connect. Over the years, there's been many, many great guests. I'm very proud of that fact, but I'm also proud of the fact that, you know, I really don't give a, you know, I don't really care. Like, I just care about, like, if you're a good person and we get along good, and you get some good energy.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Energy, we're out on the boat. Let's go.
That makes the best show. You know, that makes the best show. It doesn't matter just because you're somebody, it doesn't mean you're somebody. I mean, believe it or not, you know, that's just the way it's been. So, you know, I've had some really good fortune over the years, but it's all been out of respect. And these guys don't continue to come on because, you know, they come on because they hear it's a good time and they think I'm crazy, which I am. And, you know, it's just like they want to experience it. And I'm very thankful for that.
How would you describe to someone who's never seen the program of the Mad Fisherman? So if someone's like reading into the info, thinking about getting in, watching, you know, what you do, what is the Mad Fisherman all about?
Yeah, it's all about pure entertainment. I mean, it never was a fishing show. You know what I mean? I like to fish. It's about a guy from Boston who really enjoys sports. People from Boston have a unique perspective. They think they're always right, which we pretty much are.
Yeah, always.
So, you know, I'm not wrong there. You know what I mean? So, it's pure entertainment. Whether you like it, I can't tell you how many people tell me they don't even fish. They watch the show. I can't tell you how many women watch the show. I can't tell you how many guys that don't fish watch the show. It's not about, you know, just pure fishing. I was the first one to do many things in my industry. I made it entertaining to watch an outdoor show. Some people talk about, you know, how to throw a lure and how to catch a fish. And I'd rather put a bullet in my kneecap. You know what I mean? It's like,
if I could grab that thing out of the water and take a bite of it, that's a win for me.
Yeah, you just come on. So I just really want to make people laugh and make people have a good time when they watch TV and enjoy themselves. That's really my goal, is to make people feel like they're having, you know, a good time and they're entertaining and being entertained. And that's my job. I entertain people for a living. That's what I do.
We've had people asking questions as we were having you on. You know, we enjoy the local flavor around here with South Shore guys. Where was, like, I know that it's about entertainment, but about fishing wise, where do you think is the best place around here if you're going to wake up early in the morning to go fishing?
Well, I mean, obviously we're blessed being where we live in New England. We got the fresh water and the salt water. We got the best seafood in all of the world. I mean, you can be a Winnipesaukee, you know, less than 2 hours from Boston and be fishing in Quincy, Bay. And 2 hours later, the Chatham area is amazing. There's some great freshwater fishing on the South Shore. I mean, obviously the stripers in Boston Harbor. I mean, so honestly, truthfully, I mean, outside of Florida, we battle back and forth with the great fishing. I love New England. I think it's got the greatest smallmouth bass fishery in the world, with Lake Champlain is the best lake, period, in the entire 100%. And then you got the Boston Harbor. You got Boston Harbor, which, you know, I've been fishing on since 1970, six as a kid. So, I mean, you know, I think that when you put all those things together, I think that it's just a great area. And as far as specifically to your question, I mean, obviously Boston Harbor for flounder, for stripers, for bluefish, for, you know, all of the cod, go a little further or come in during the winter. We have it all right here. And then if you want to come in and have a couple tardies for the body and then have a little bit of seafood or a steak dinner, we're right there. You know what I mean?
Got plenty of spots for that too.
100%.
I would just urge to stay away from the Wollaston Beach area. You could go in there, come out with a third leg. I mean, that's entertainment for you, but fishing wise, I don't know. What do you think your best catch over the years, you know, on TV, on television, from the water has been? Like, what have you been like, oh my God, this is, you know, a big tuna or something like that?
I've caught some big fish over the years, but it's difficult with TV. TV is not like it's not you're setting it up. There's no studio. It's Mother Nature. I mean, it's a work in progress. I've caught some big largemouth. I've caught some big smallmouth. I've caught, you know, I've caught some big sharks. I mean, it's, you know, tuna I've not really done a lot of because it's very time consuming and you know, I don't have the time. People don't understand that. I mean, I'm doing multiple shows and I want to try to find the time, even doing a little bit more hunting than I want to do a little more hunting than I have. I just don't have the time. So yeah, I've caught some, you know, I've caught some 14-pound bass on TV. I've caught 10-pound bass on TV. I've caught 6-pound smallmouth on TV. I've caught I'm just thankful to be alive, and I'm thankful to be able to fish, and I'm thankful to be able to be entertaining people every week. I'm healthy. I'm, you know, I think that's the most important thing.
For sure. God bless it. Definitely. Definitely.
I do have to bring up your hardware. I did read 15 New England Emmy Awards. What do you credit that towards? I mean, I'm sure you have somewhat of a team to help you behind the scenes, but you know, when you were looking at yourself, what would you say, 1996, when you started the programs, would you picture that you'd be that successful?
Yeah. So not to be that guy, but we have 17 Emmy Awards.
Oh, so I was wrong. And, so I was wrong.
Yeah. So no,
refresh
so,
the page, buddy.
I mean, honestly, it's, I really don't, I guess it's kind of like a Super Bowl ring or whatever. I mean, I get it, but
it's all about the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think that, you know, I don't really put myself on that level of like, that's the end all be all. I just, I feel like I'm very proud of that. Very, honored to be in that category, but I don't think I would change my mindset if I didn't have any, you know what I mean? So I just keep on doing what I'm doing, and I'm very proud to be part of the machine that we pump out good shows, pump out good entertainment. Very proud of my work with the Boston Bruins for 12 years with the Behind the Bee. We created that with Dennis Leary and Cam Neely and Bruins Academy. I created that, beat Charlie Moore on ESPN, was the number one show on ESPN for 10 years. You know, I'm just proud of all the accomplishments, but maybe I'll sit back 2 weeks before I die on my front porch, but I'm not ready to do that right now.
So how does the pitch go? Cause I watch a lot of the program, but the Behind the Bee is really impressive. Just like the inside of the locker room, basically a Hard Knocks for the Bruins in a sense. What came into your head of being like, we should pitch this, or how did you get the opportunity to that?
Well, they called me. I mean, the Jacobs family called me, and Cam Neely called me, you know, and, asked me to create a show with them.
Really cool.
And, yeah. And so we did. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah. They called me up and I went in and it's in the 12th year. And, you know, it's tough when you got the team playing like they're playing like now and they're playing like shit right now. And, you know, but they know that and they need to come back from that. But when, you know, they played great and they, you know, for, you know, the whole year and you get knocked out in the first or second round. Yeah. So there's levels of disappointment. And I think that that's what makes pro sports so great, that there's so many highs and lows. You know,
it's about that result.
Not, yeah. And it's not a movie. You're not dictating it on your terms. You know, it's real life. So, you know, look, you know, I'm, you know, following the team around, there's just that. There's a lot of pure emotion and there's days that are great and there's days that are, you know, more difficult to deal with, but that's what makes the show really good, because it's capturing all of those emotions and airing it on TV. I'm very proud of the 12th year of Behind the Bee, 10 years of Bruins Academy. So, you know, I think it's a really good series. I think it's the best show in the league for any team. And I'm not just biased because I'm a Bruins fan.
No, well, I think you're completely right as well. I honestly think you are too.
Since we're on the topic a little bit, and I know you're a Bruins guy, must be a, you know, Boston sports guy. Just broad here, best championship for Boston in the last 25 years. So 2025, you can do up to 2000. There's been a lot. There's been what, 6 new, Pats, 4 Red Sox. I mean, you know, the rest 1-1, 2-1 now with the Celtics.
I think the first Patriots one was my favorite one, to be honest with you, because I think that it's always been a Red Sox. You know, even the Red Sox in 04, breaking the curse, I think you put those two together as a 1-2 kind of punch. I think it was always a hockey town. You know, Boston was always a hockey town. Very, you know what I mean? And And the Celtics were just pure, you know, they were, you know, they were just machines, you know, there's nothing the beats that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the 80s, you know what I mean? So, yeah, but the there league. Was a long drought. I don't want to say 86 years, but it was 86 years. And, you know, I think the Patriots were like, you know, from the Schaefer Stadium to the owners, the Schaefers, I mean, to the whole, you know, Sullivan. And, you know, you just never felt like they could be that dominant. So I think the 2002 and the 2004 Patriots at two and then the Red Sox at four.
Yeah.
I think they have to be the ones that kind of stick out to me. Obviously, the Bruins in 11 was, you know, it was awesome.
Unbelievable.
I thought we had a couple more there, you know, but,
but man.
It didn't happen.
So close, yeah. Yes. Fucking Blues.
Yep. Oh, they were. Yeah. You think that the San Jose Sharks could have beat them up a little bit, but they got a four-game sweep. Four, you know?
Yeah, right. Sweep. Jesus
Jordan
Christ.
Jordan Bennington, Ryan High. Yep. That was tough. Yeah. Tough go there in game seven.
No, they were a good team. Yeah. But.
So, you know, throughout since the 90s, what has been probably the coolest part to come out of your TV career, whether, you know, it's the experience or just anything in general?
I think the longevity of it is very difficult. I think that people just don't take that into consideration, how an ever changing world of podcasts and cable TV and, you know, antennas with aluminum foil on them and you know, and, you know, from the beginning of when we were kids, watching the cable truck roll around the neighborhood and getting cable and MTV for the first time, to the evolution of a pay network on NESN, to making it to ESPN, you know, and NESN, NBC, and going out to LA and doing a sitcom and then selling it to Tim Allen because you didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, I'm impressed that, you know, it's 29 years of just doing what I want to do. You know what I mean? I'm surprised I haven't been arrested yet and spent more than 24 hours in jail. So, I mean,
it's impressive. It's impressive.
Yeah, right.
We have a couple.
Keep the streak going. Here. Keep the streak going.
That impresses me. I mean, obviously, the key to success is consistency, but, you know, longevity is tough in any you know, restaurant, you know,
absolutely.
Any industry, any, it's tough.
And yeah, TV might be like the hardest of those, to be honest. Like, and that makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, I think TV and entertainment business as a whole, music, and look at the music industry, how it changes, and it's a difficult environment to have a brand because it's so saturated now. There's so many levels of where you can watch content and what you can get it from, which is great. But it's also like, you know, you have to have a real legitimate brand and to stick out. And, you know, I'm proud of the fact that I've been able to have that for 29 years and nobody can take that away, whatever you think about me. And, you know, I'll take that to my grave. You know, I'll know that I entertained a lot of people and made a lot of people laugh and put a lot of smiles on people's faces. And that's what I'll take to my grave.
So in the podcast world, that people call it the white whale, which is like the guest you like most want to have on. I know that you said you weren't a big like character, like VIP guy, but is there anyone that is really up for discussion who you'd love to have on the boat, just out there having a great time? Anyone in specific?
Yeah, no, I haven't really thought about that, but I mean, you know, just randomly off the top of my head, if I had to give a snap assessment of that, I mean, maybe Stallone. I would say
Stallone would be good.
Fuck yeah, that'd be sick.
I don't know. I have a mad respect for Stallone and Arnold. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you know guys like that. Really, I really like Mel Gibson a lot because he doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? He just doesn't really care.
That would be content.
Like, yeah, you just content. Like, you know, if you don't like it, then suck my weenie. You know what I mean? I don't really care. So to me, I mean, guys like that, I mean, you know, I just, somebody that was dead, I'd probably go 100%. I would definitely take a dead one. I would probably take Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra. That's a good one.
Cigars out there.
Yeah, cigars.
Out on the boat. Yeah, that'd be nice. A couple that'd bodies. Be nice.
Yeah. Let's go.
I'd take Frank. We'd listen. He could sing to me all day.
Oh yeah. Do you have like a, is there like a spot or a fish that you haven't got yet either? Like a white whale in that regard, something you're trying to get out there?
Yeah, no. I mean, probably maybe a tuna, you know, maybe a big bluefin tuna or, you know, something like that. But You know, look, I've been from Panama to Italy to, I mean, I've been everywhere yeah. twice. I mean, I just think it's just amazing that I've been fortunate enough to be able to entertain people. I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to that. I think that that's the brand. If you can entertain people, you will have a brand. And I'm very fortunate enough to continue that for 29 years.
Nice. My last question of the night is, you know, this current Bruins roster, who would you like to have more on the boat to, you know, go fish and have a good time? If you know those guys, you know, personally, or just, you know, shot out of the dark here.
The current roster. I'd probably go, we've talked about it back and forth, yep. but I'd probably go with Brad Marchand, but he's a bit of, he can't handle me. He thinks he's a little punk, but I'm more of a punk than he'll ever be. So Brad won't come on the boat because he can't handle me. Because he talks a lot of smack, but I talk way more smack. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not ready.
He's not ready for it. No, he's big outdoorsman. We've just never got a chance to kind of connect for some odd reason. We've been, you know, it's been talked about, but I love the fact that he loves to talk smack and he likes the outdoors. So
I did see really, he had a little show with Kevin Miller or something like that. I did see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Millsy it was good. And like I said, he enjoys a lot of the similarities. We have a lot of similar personalities, but I'm 6'2" and he's 5'2". So, so there's that.
I love that, Charlie. You got anything else, Neil? Last question.
We've asked a lot of guest about food around here. Best clam chowder, all in New England. Oof,
that's a good right one. Here in my house. I make the best food, period.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
We need a sample.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The best clam chowder? Oh, my gosh. That's a tough one. Oh, man. I don't know.
Even if it's just an area. I know, like, up in Maine, there's got some good stuff. I know, obviously, down the Cape. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, not New York.
I think the only time I get clam chowder is when I sometimes at the Capitol Grill. That's the only time I get clam chowder.
Perfect.
I would go with best like seafood. Or, I mean, for me, the best sushi. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to Karma. They have like 6 locations in Mass. This sushi is crazy good.
Oh yeah,
Karma Asian Fusion, and like you know, Sea Level and Finn's. My boy up there, George, has been rocking it since 2000. I mean, and Pickering Wharf. If I think about a dish when I go to bed, that's right. I put my head down on the pillow and I'm like, oh, I'd love to have that, you know, that kind of thing. They have a blue, a big eye tuna. It's just
to die for.
Ridiculous. Yeah. It's just, yeah. And you're like, oh my God. You know, you think about those kind of things. I'm a big seafood sushi kind of guy. I love seafood, obviously in New England and, you know, but you know, I could eat steak and I could bebop back and forth between steak and sushi like that every
sounds
other
like
night.
A great life
you,
to me.
Yeah, you yeah. wouldn't pick wrong yeah. any of this time. Yeah,
mixing a couple lobster yeah. tails while you're at it. Yeah.
Where's your favorite? Where would you say your favorite clam? I mean, I got to ask you now. Like, what do you say? Yeah, like
clam chowder is down the Cape. It's probably the Captain Parker's or this place Skipper's, which is kind of down the street.
Okay.
And there are a few more good ones that I can't think of off the top. Everywhere's like down the Cape for me.
Yeah,
I'm trying. That's a good question though, because I'm trying to circle around one. I just can't really, you know.
I know. Everyone makes it different. They put corn in it. They put other stuff in it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they're very different. Like the two places I'm talking about. You can you could tell which one's which if you've had
actually
them.
Local spot in at Bay Point in Quincy, Mass has a good.
Oh
one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'll throw that one in there. That's good. And then actually even East Bay Grill down in Plymouth. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plymouth has a lot of good chowder down.
But if you're from New England and it comes out hot and you're freezing, you eat it and at the end of the last bite, you're like, man, that really wasn't that good. But you ate the whole fucking thing.
In like a minute.
You eat the whole thing. You're like, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah. Tongue's on fire. It's like, it was all right.
I'm also a big never get the bowl. Like if you get a bowl, you just got to be out for the count. You like right. a quick cup? Now you like the bowl?
I've gotten a bowl. Yeah. I'm definitely okay. had more cups.
Someone gets a cup. Come on. You get a cup. You're like, what are you doing? What's going on right now?
Grow up.
Well, I mix it in before the entree. Make sure, you know, get enough room for the steak. The sushi, you know.
I got you.
For sure.
I got you.
Charlie, really appreciate you coming on tonight. And best luck with everything. Go Bruins. Hope they can figure it out. And be tuning in.
I appreciate you guys. I wish you a happy new year, and I wish you the best in 2025. And hopefully we'll connect soon.
Yeah, sure. Same to you, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Happy new year.
And that was Charlie Moore Outdoor from Nesson's own Charlie Moore Outdoor. Also producing No Offense, Bruins Academy, Inside the Bee, New England Traveler, you name it, he's probably got it.
Yeah, oh, it is crazy. It is crazy how much impact he's had on just Nesson and entertainment as a whole.
Yeah, from clam chowder to not really caring about Tom Brady. Like, I mean, I'm not going to speculate that, but, you know, he...
Clam chowder is more important.
Yeah,
these
days. Way more important. Seems like he's got everything going on. Corrected me on that. I have 15 New England Emmys down here. It's 17. I'm actually glad he corrected me, because if he just said 17 and we're screaming 15 the whole time, I wouldn't want to be me either.
Yeah. That would have been tough.
Exactly. To the surprise, I thought he was going to say 2011 Bruins was the best, because he's just a Bruins guy, but clearly loves all the Boston sports around here. Went with the New England 01. I knew he kind of hit you hard with the 04 Red Sox. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised, because you're a coward and hid behind the blanket there of when he brought up the 04 Sox.
Well, when the 01 one, like, when you're older than us, that's like the most important one, because that's when it all started.
Yeah, that's when it starts.
Like, we sucked for everything. Outside of the Celtics.
Yeah.
And like Bobby Orr.
But they even had a break. I mean, their last championship was, what, 86 or something like
which
that?
Which for them is probably the longest tenure for them.
14, 15 years, which I guess we're being spoiled, because that's really not that long of a time. Yeah. So we're going to move on now. We have the, I'm trying to, something's on the Zoom. Would like to access the files. You know, it's fine. We're good. Keep it rolling. So we have the Patriots firing Gerard Mayo Sunday, quite after we recorded with Joey Boats. So we're recording here on Wednesday night, kind of the aftermath. And we were kind of on board of it, of, you know, probably fire him, but have a good plan of what you're going to do before you do it. And clearly, I think they do. And I think they were right to fire him. It's just good business. If you don't have someone who's qualified as a head coach, and it just doesn't get better, especially the last month and a half after the bye, the way they played, they didn't seem like things were getting better. At least like the year before, they, like, you could see things like at least progressing a little bit. But at the end of the day, it was time for the man to go.
Oh yeah, this entire year should just be punted. Like, fucking everything that had to do with this year, carry on.
It's great. It's great to see that Joe Milton got some time, but they threw away the number one pick there. I think that was just the nail in the coffin. And I still don't believe that he fired him after the game. I think this was all done before.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's so hard to tell a team, like, especially Joe Milton, who's like a backup, hasn't really played. Like, yeah, yo, go out there and suck. Like, you can't fuck it. Like, you can't do that.
And
like, you don't expect him to ball as much as he did. He played a great fucking game, which is,
yeah,
I mean, teams are already asking for him.
well, there was just, I think you need a coach, obviously, with some experience. You need some that Gerard Mayo just did not have. You need a coach with not just balls, but know when to make the right call to have balls. And I think he was more of, and I don't know him personally, but I think he's a great guy, and I don't think there's anything past his character or just lack of experience. And I think he kind of lost the locker room towards the end there of the season.
I think he definitely did. And I think what you're saying exactly, I think they pulled the trigger just a bit too early on him. I mean, like, he might be able to, if he ever gets another shot, he might be able to coach again, like, five, maybe even a decade down the road. But it's just like, he's not a head coach yet.
Yeah. And simply. I honestly, I've like hated Kraft since like the documentary came out, and he tried to throw Belichick and, you know, people down the way. And just, I didn't like the last year of how he was doing things. And I really liked his press conference that he had. He immediately said it's his fault. He feels awful for Gerard Mayo for even putting him in that position. I mean, at the end of the day, they were talking about head coaching last year. It was already built that Gerard Mayo was going to come in. And clearly he knew that was a mistake. If you don't know it by now, then now you know. But it seems like there's going to be some more changes going on with the Patriots organization.
Yeah, it seems like they just took the easy way out and just kind of tried to walk into the year like, we just have this coach to be now. We don't really do anything.
I mean, they were on,
because we were going to suck. Like, there was no, like, we didn't get this guy, we would have been good.
That
team was going to suck this year.
The over-under of wins was like 4, and they won 4. So they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
You pushed. Love to see it.
And even though, like, I don't think wins and losses mattered at all this year. I think they were just, It wasn't the Patriots teams that we're normally seeing. Of course, it's not a championship team that we're normally seeing. But, you know, teams that progressed. I think that was that's a big element of the Patriot way of you're getting better each day. And by, you know, week 17, you're going to be a whole lot better team than week one. And they had their best win week one. I think that tells a lot about this team, how, you know, it got worse from week one.
Yeah, and I think they punted the coach. They blew it on the coach. But one good takeaway is it looked like you hit on quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's like one of them down. Because you didn't know either going into the year. You didn't know, like, it was two rookies. You didn't know either. You whiffed on one, but it looks like you hit on the other.
Yeah, and Kraft even hinted in during the – he might have hit on two quarterbacks this past draft.
That's true as well.
I mean, you put Joe Milton against a primetime first team D, and I don't know if he's going to do that.
No.
But even that callback.
Trade for him like he does.
Yeah. That callback throw to DeMario Douglas was unbelievable.
No, he looked good.
They said he has since 2000, he has the second fastest football thrown on a football field in the NFL.
Wow.
It was like 62 something. Actually, it wasn't surprising, but it was unbelievable. Is Tom Brady's number four on that list at age 44 on the Tampa Bay Bucks? 44.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he like regressed in age as he got older.
Throwing
yeah.
heat.
Yeah, Tom Brady's not human, dude.
Everything comes back to TB.
He's a witch.
Everything. Now going forward, obviously we look at the Vegas. I look at Vegas odds and. Mike Vrabel's minus 400 to be the head coach. He's interviewing. We're recording on a Wednesday. He's coming in to the Gillette Stadium and stuff on Thursday. Let's hope Rob Kraft, you know, sends him to his nice steakhouse, gets him a proper hospitality. Because I think this is a guy they need. I know that people are trying to be like, let's get away from, you know, the Patriots culture and familiarity. And, like, people don't understand business, how it gets done. And Robert Kraft's a businessman, and business is all about relationships. And the fact that you have someone coming in here who knows the old, you know, tradition of the New England Patriots of, you know, setting the tone, knowing how to and you know what, experience of being a head coach as well is obviously going to go into it. I think Mike Vrabel is not the top choice, but I think it's honestly an easy choice. I think it's a very easy choice.
I'm kind of pro get the fuck out of here with the Bill and like the Patriot, like fucking over, dude.
it is over, but
I won't be mad if they get Vrabel. I'm not like anti getting Vrabel. Yeah. I'm not like against that. I will not be like pissed if Mike Vrabel is the coach. That's a great pick. He is a good coach. Get some new blood in there, man.
I just don't think.
Get some new fucking blood in there.
You talk about the guy, you know, Ben Johnson's candidate has never had. Coached a football team.
You know what Ben Johnson was an integral part of doing?
Turning back the Lions.
Making the Lions the head coach. Good. The Detroit Lions are 15-2. That is everyone, every person besides Dan Campbell. And no, Dan Campbell's a head coach. He should be the fucking owner of a football team. They made the Detroit Lions the number one overall seed, 15-2.
Did you think them interviewing... Byron left, which the first day it was kind of funny.
Sick. That was awesome. I texted that to Bobby from St. Louis, and I was like, look at this dude. He was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, Byron left, which that would, I'd love it.
It's crazy how, because it's the Rooney rule, you have to interview two African-American, or I think it's just like a different other than.
You got to mix it up. Yeah. Like basically.
And I think they just like blatantly did it. I forget the other guy's name. I think he's and they're both respectable coaches. I mean, Byron Leftwich coached the Tampa Bay offense.
No, he's doing a great job. That's
when they won. Yeah. No, he got fired 2 years ago. But
did he?
Yeah, he wasn't.
Who is it now?
I don't know who it is now, but he wasn't coaching.
Oh, I thought he was still in the Bucs.
No, he got fired like the last
year. I know Todd Bowles is still there.
Yeah, yeah. He got fired the last year of Tom Brady, I think, because they went like 8-9, got smoked.
Well, that's fair. But stuck with Tom Brady.
But he was the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator when they beat the Chiefs in the COVID year. So,
wow. I guess I thought that was funny because, like, it's Byron Leftwich and, like, just an old, like, throwback player. But I thought he was still, like, the coordinator on the Bucs. Like, they just went and found him.
No, that's why.
fucking.
Like, I don't know if there's a rule against, like, blatantly just being like, okay.
He was just, like, out on the streets.
We interviewed two.
Found Byron Leftwich.
Yeah. We interviewed two minorities. Like, now we can move on to our, like, I don't know if they, like, they definitely blatantly did that. I don't know, but it seems like it.
Well, I mean, when your top two candidates are just Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson, you do have to just like,
yeah,
do it. I guess that's literally the
rule. Well, they said they scheduled to interview the defensive coordinator for the Lions too. What's his name? Aaron Glenn. He is supposed to
see anything with the Lions, dude.
Yeah,
give him all jobs. Anything
he's,
with the Lions.
He's interviewing with the Jets too. I mean, I don't even know nowadays who would you pick, the Jets or the Pats? Like both dumpster fires, but at least you know you have a quarterback in New England. You have all this money in cap space while you don't with the Jets, and you have a top five pick. So I mean, see, and that's why I mean the familiarity of Mike Vrabel. I just, it makes more sense and more sense. Unless he ends up just like punching Jonathan Kraft in tomorrow's meeting.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think he should go fine.
He might.
He could.
Don't get him going. Yeah. That steak better be rare.
I think as bad as you think it hears to you losing the first pick, I don't think it's a big deal at all. Maybe in terms of leverage of, but I don't even think it's a leverage draft where you can be like, okay, we're going to trade you this first pick because you need a quarterback at one and you're going to give us all these picks. I don't think you can get that big haul this year. So I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, you have the Titans, the Browns, and the Giants. So you would think two of the three teams are probably going to take quarterback. So that's Sanders and Ward. And then the other one, it could be Travis Hunter. It could be an offensive – that Calvin Banks, the offensive lineman from the Texas
– No, there. Longhorns. I agree with you. There are definitely years where winning that game, like, sets your franchise back like a decade.
Yeah.
Like, you bugged. This, I don't think, is one of those drafts. I don't think –
I brought up on last
year. Like, you would like, you know what I mean? Like, if the fucking, if the Panthers, that happened to them and they whiffed on Cam Newton, or the Bengals for fucking Joe Burrow or something,
yeah,
like,
that's all time.
That's
bad.
Just like that, like, that is the worst possible thing that could happen. This wasn't the worst possible thing that could happen.
Well, yeah, no.
It wasn't that bad.
I compared it to,
I was very pro if we took Travis Hunter. I also was very pro if we just traded that pick for a bunch of picks. Like, yeah. It really wouldn't have made too much of a difference.
I just compared it to the Lovie Smith when he won the last game to give Texans number two pick. And their number two pick ended up being C.J. Stroud. So you never know where he can land.
Yeah, exactly.
And Travis Hunter, he could go number one, but he could also go number four if he could get down there. I'm thinking he won't. I think the Giants, if they're there at three, they might take him if they can't find a quarterback. But that's another team that needs a quarterback. I think the Browns signed Deshaun Watson to this huge deal. So why are they looking at a quarterback?
They're extremely just fucked.
Yeah. And I think the Titans will take a quarterback at one. I think that's a sure thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that Will Levis things work. I think he's got potential, but I don't think it's working out there.
Yeah. I mean, they could also, I mean, because you got Shador and Cam Ward, who are both good, but also both like project quarterbacks.
No, exactly.
Like, and a team like could pass on them. Like, again, they're not Joe Burrow or like fucking that, where it's like it's over right now. Like, the draft is like the number one pick is not, we don't fully know just yet.
I think either one of them two could like pass each other in like these, whatever, these senior bowls, the private workouts. Cause I don't think they've really set themselves, you know, like truly past the other one. Like, Cam Ward had, you know, brought Miami to new heights this year. You know, so that brought him from not being a first round pick to being in the top five. And Shedeur Sanders, I think he, you know, he comes from obviously, you know, the Deion's world and everything like that. But is he, you know, number one in the draft material? And like, are we going to look back 3-5 years from now being like, okay, he's just like kind of mid. This was a horrible draft.
Both, and like Cam Ward's my guy. He's like led Miami to the best season they've had in fucking
still missed the tournament,
years.
But
yeah, by fucking one, dude. This is a team that goes like 5-6 every year, dude. Like, I'm not a Bama Georgia Texas fan now.
Should it be Georgia Tech?
No, it was Syracuse.
Yeah,
that was the killer. But whatever.
Yeah. Well, the teams that are still playing, we got quite the slate. Saturday through Monday, you're gonna get college football Thursday night, Friday night. And then you got 2 Saturday, 3 Sunday, and 1 Monday night that they might be pushing to Arizona because, unfortunately, these forest fires going on in L.A. could be tough.
Yeah, prayers up to all the people out there. Yeah. That's ugly stuff.
We'll start with the NFL side. The Chargers got themselves out of a doozy. They were going to have to play Baltimore, but Pittsburgh lost to Cincy. Long story, you know, short. You understand. You watch football now. But L.A. is going to be on the road against a hurt team that's just been beat up at the receiver position, offensive line position all year, the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud having, you know, a tough sophomore slump. Chargers fade by 3 on the road. I would think it'd be more. If this was a home game with L.A., I'd even push it to 7. I think there's no doubt that Jim Harbaugh goes in to Houston and takes them down easily. I'm giving them, I think it's going to be at least 24-17 LA Chargers.
This is an all-time playoff matchup of teams that could score 7 points or 40.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, this could fucking, I'm actually kind of pumped for this game. Like, honestly, it should be interesting. I do think the Chargers win as well. I think better coaching, they're healthier. They have, I think Herbert is better than Stroud still at this point. Stroud is definitely a QB of the future, but I don't think it's his time yet.
I even just think it comes down to the running game. I think J.K. Dobbins has had a great year. They actually just signed Zeke. I know that's just like an afterthought.
Sick.
Yeah, but then their defense has been great. Offensive line has been great. And this stat for you, last seven times Houston has made the playoffs, they've played at 4:30 on wild card weekend on that Saturday every damn year. So this is always their game to usually lose. I'm pretty sure the only game they won, Brian Hoyer was the quarterback.
You do have to like an asterisk on that stat a little bit though.
Why?
There's a lot of Patriot and Tom Brady beatdowns on that list.
Yeah, big time.
Like that's it's not fair.
No, but like one time they play like Oakland, like there hasn't been any good matchups.
Oh, no, there are some where there is not an asterisk and they blew it, but some like they just ran into Tom Brady and got massacred.
Then you got an in division, the AFC North, which actually I've been watching a lot of Hard Knocks on HBO. They're doing like the AFC North, and it's been great stuff. They got Lamar Jackson. I mean, you name it. Russell Wilson still being like pretty boy Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow came out on top last week, still didn't make the playoffs. And you know what? That win for the Patriots week one did just as bad as them as it did just as bad as for Cincy. One team doesn't get the number one pick. The other team doesn't make the playoffs because of that. But Pittsburgh has been struggling. They started out 10-3, lost 4 in a row. And those are all pretty good teams. I think it's Baltimore, Philly, Kansas City, Cincy all mixed in.
Yeah.
But now you got Pittsburgh going on the road in Baltimore. I know it's an in-division opponent. Baltimore favored by a big, big spread here. 9.5 points. I think Baltimore has been probably the best team in the last, 3 to 4 weeks, at least in the – I'll slow it down maybe just for the AFC. I like them covering this like easy. I think they honestly might cover the 20. I think they might win by 20 points.
I don't think they win by that much because of just pure AFC North football. I mean, these two teams, they play a playoff game every time they play each other in the regular season, which is one of the great rivalries in all of football. Baltimore is by far a better team. Pittsburgh has absolutely crumbled down the stretch. Like you said, it's a great teams, but 4 in a row is affecting. You don't feel as good on a 4-game losing streak. And Lamar is just having one of the best years of he's a 2-time MVP. He's having his best year by like miles.
Should probably be 3, but I think Allen will get it just strictly off the narrative base. You know, team wasn't supposed to be good, ends up, being
definitely,
number 2 team.
Definitely do like the Ravens at home, but I do think I think they might cover what, the 9.5 you said?
Yeah, 9.5 spread.
Might cover that. Not 20. I don't think they get to that far.
I just think it all comes down to the offensive play calling, because if they can feed Derrick Henry like 20 times, they can do anything with that offense. They have enough pass catchers now. Mark Andrews, I just out of the blue of being completely quiet in fantasy the first 3 weeks, he now leads this year tight ends and touchdowns, which is absurd. I didn't even, when they said that the other day, I was ecstatic. I was like, this is crazy. Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman's been great. Just seems like if they get out with this running game, it's going to be really tough for not just the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I'm talking about any team to stop them. Baltimore is sneaky becoming they're sitting at plus 550 to win the Super Bowl. Those are pretty damn long odds for a team that good.
Was Zay, friend of the pod, was Zay okay?
Yeah, he's okay.
He'll be
playing Saturday night. He'll be good.
I didn't see the updates, but I saw that during the game. I was watching it and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I bet he could have played the second half if it wasn't a throwaway game.
Yeah, it looked tough.
But I don't know, man. And then the stat also came up 12 years ago, they won the Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, and 12 years ago, they won the Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. And it was both their 6th, 7th years. And now it's Lamar's 6th, 7th year, and it's been 12 years. So he's supposed to win this year, and it keeps on going.
That's some, the San Francisco Giants on an even year.
Yeah, Jedi.
Remember when they had it? Yeah, that's some bullshit like that. I think they did it 3 times in a row.
Just some local Jedi mind tricks for you. Sunday, 1 o'clock game, you know, wake up after your Saturday hangover, get ready for a shit stomping in Buffalo, because Denver's on the road against the Buffalo Bills, who have beat only team that's beaten the Kansas City Chiefs all year, going to have the MVP. I don't know if it's going to play to their advantage of having rest last week, resting their players and coming back or not, but I don't know. Josh Allen, man, against Denver just seems like it's good. It's a great story. Bo Nix threw 4 tutties last week.
Yeah, they beat Kansas City.
In a dismantled Kansas City. Yeah, didn't matter. Didn't count.
No, I'm totally kidding. Bills by 100. Yeah.
But Buffalo, yeah, truly. Actually, yeah, that is. Both these teams beat Kansas City. You're right.
Yeah.
They both did.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Buffalo at home, 8.5-point spread. I like them to win by double digits. I think Denver's, like I said, it's a good story. They barely snuck in. They almost blew it. But they got the job done versus Carson Wentz and a bunch of second teamers. So hats off to them, but Buffalo's going to end their season Sunday.
Yeah, no, this is where I disagreed on you in the last one because of the intense rivalry. Like, this is the Bills in a fucking bloodbath. Yeah. Like, this is...
blowout. I think the last 2 years, last 3 years, Buffalo in this round has played Miami, and New England, and every game has been at least 20 points. Including, really? Remember that game with Mac Jones?
Oh, it yeah. Well, 40. Yeah. That's,
so... yeah. This is a game where they beat up on, they get ready. I mean, I'm looking our head now at the divisional matchups. If it's Baltimore, Buffalo in the second round, I mean, that could, if it aligned AFC, NFC, I mean, that would be a great Super Bowl matchup.
You know? Yeah, was, absolutely.
If that was the world we lived in, but it's not.
The MVPs in theory.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the grace of having the number one seed in the AFC. You avoid those teams until the AFC title game. But, oh, yeah, all three AFC games, the AFC playoffs this round complete before you even get to the NFC. And then you got a 4:30 start with struggling Green Bay on the road against Philly, who Jalen Hurts just got back to practice today. We're recording on a Wednesday. Best running back in football, Saquon Barkley. Could have potentially broke the record, but they sat him out last week. Philly's favored by 4.5 points. You know, the first three games, I'm riding all favorite spreads. I'm going to continue what I'm doing. I don't think – Jordan Love's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think their team's ready, you know, to get to that moment of winning a playoff game yet, especially at least against a superior team. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a 2-7 matchup. I got Philly winning by a touchdown.
Yeah, I like Philly. I like Philly to cover as well. Green Bay just keeps fucking shocking me.
Yeah.
Because they're like – I just don't view this – iteration of Green Bay is like that good. I'm like not the biggest believer in Love. I'm a huge believer in Josh Jacobs. He's been an absolute stud for them.
Yeah, beast.
But they just get it done. And then they do get there. That's why they're there, 11-6. I mean, that's why they're in the playoffs. Like, yep. I'm talking about, like, I don't think that team's like that good. Like, not just Green Bay? Just against like the Eagles next week. Like, not that good at all.
Christian Watson's out for the season.
ACL. But like, I'm wrong. No. But the Eagles are a juggernaut. They've been one of the preseason Super Bowl like favorites all year. I mean, Saquon, to all the people that said he was done, look how wrong you are. I know you're out there. And I think Eagles pretty handedly.
I mean, yeah, Philly's
the Eagles don't win by a ton just because of the way they play football.
Yeah.
But I think like it's gonna be a more convincing victory than what the score will say.
I agree. So I'm taking 7 points, but it could be 14, could be 20.
But it's going to be like it's not going to be like that close.
My preseason pick was Philly beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm sticking to it. I still think Baltimore can be in play, but I'm not, you know, can't count on Pat Mahomes until the scoreboard says legit 0-0-0 on it. And I'm not going to go back on that. Big game, Sunday Night Football, Washington Commanders. Making their first postseason appearance since Taylor Heineke almost did the unthinkable against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This time, new set of faces. You have Jaden Daniels, going to be rookie of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Going off and You know, a great story in Baker Mayfield with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Signed a contract after last season playing well. They got Mike that was crazy getting Mike Evans' catch there.
Yeah, that was to sick. Break it. Good for them.
I mean, he could have threw his whole season away. I get it. Like, he would have got a two-point conversion and everything like that. But kudos to Todd Bowles because that takes a lot of balls.
It does, absolutely.
A lot of balls. I'm, on the other hand, I've been taking favorites the whole time. Give me the rookie on the road. The first week one of the NFL season, the Commanders and Buccaneers played. Commanders lost by 20. I think they learned a lot from that. They've been a different team since then. Their defense has been great, led by Bobby Wagner, who's going to get who everyone kind of thought was like done. I think he's going to get like a fat 3-year deal after the season from whoever wants to pay him.
Yeah.
Offensively, you know, they've protected Jaden Daniels well. Terry McLaurin's led the receiving core. Brian Robinson Jr. has been great behind in the backfield. I love Washington here in an upset special. Not even just plus +3. Give me a money line. I love them going the next round.
Jaden Daniels, rookie. Rookie. 3,500 passing yards, 890 rushing yards.
Insane.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Insane.
Future MVP, going to be a hero, and the start of his playoff postseason career starts in that game. Let's go, Commanders.
Oh, wow. You taking him the win?
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck yeah.
I'm an LSU guy. Jaden Daniels was my guy.
I couldn't, I mean.
And I'm sorry for Magic because he's not here to defend his Bucks. Sucks the socks. Yeah, should have made it.
Tough luck in the draw.
Should have fucking made it. Tough. No, it does suck these two teams are playing each other.
Yeah,
that is extremely whack. Yeah, that is.
No, if like
Washington, it is cool that one of them is going to win.
Yeah. If Washington was playing, like, I don't know, call it like the Rams. Like, actually, I love Minnesota too. Like, NFC has been enjoyable football this year.
Yeah.
I've liked every part of it. And Minnesota going on the road to Inglewood, California, perhaps, unless they switch the site because of the fires. They are on the road. It's basically an even. It's a pick 'em. So you got Minnesota playing experienced LA Rams, Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, in a mighty defense. I mean, Minnesota lost a tough game the other day that kind of came back to life. Sam Darnold did not have his big game in primetime. That's what kind of worries me in this game because all year, besides last week, I did take Detroit. I did get the W. But I've picked Minnesota the whole season strictly because the weapons around them. I mean, I love the, you know, progression of Sam Darnold. He's probably going to get a contract. It's great. But a lot of people could, you know, program that offense. Not to a, to his defense, not a 14-3, you know, season.
Yeah.
But but a playoff season.
Absolutely. Yeah, like swap their record with like the Packers or something. Yeah. Like an 11-6 or something.
Agreed. But I'm trying. This is such a tough game for me because I've been a huge on Minnesota all year. But something's just telling me, you know, when it comes to down the end of the game, decision making. And I also love Kevin O'Connell. He's going to be coach of the year for the Vikings. See, you know what? I'm taking the Vikings. I was going to go with the Rams, but we're going with the Vikings on the road. Upset special. They win. They're probably going to play the winner of not. They could be playing anyone. They could be playing Tampa. I don't know.
But yeah,
I got Minnesota to win.
Rams are as healthy as they've been all year.
Yeah.
They're coming. They've gotten hot. They're ready to go. Sam Darnold, under the lights, 8 p.m. playoff game. Pukes on himself. Seeing ghost. Rams.
You're not wrong. But I'm betting with my heart here, not my brain. And I just love Minnesota. I love what they've done this year with Aaron Jones in the backfield.
No, it sucks that the Vikings is like, just like the players they've had, like even going back to like Chris Carter, Culpepper, and Moss. Like it sucks that that's just like a cursed franchise. Like they look sick. They do the skull thing. Like everything about the Vikings is sick. They just joke and suck.
Like imagine if the Lions had to play in this fucking game. Like the Lions have been the best team in the league basically all year. If they just, you know, had one tough night, and they lost, it'd be on the road. I mean, that they said it's, oh, it's not fair, but that's the way it should go. If you don't win your division, you don't deserve a home game.
Yeah,
fair. I think that's fair as it can. You know, it's going to be a hell of a wild card weekend. I think the divisional round, it will be just as good. But
yeah, no, it
we'll
should
get
be.
There. And if you're wondering about getting a seat at Ford Field, Detroit, Michigan next week, tickets are going as low as $534 just for the divisional game alone.
Oh, I mean, for fucking, that stadium, that's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you live in Detroit, you also have, literally have nothing to do but go to that game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Might as well just spend the money. You know?
Might as well.
And the other day's pod, we did go over college football a little bit, but we have two big games coming up tomorrow night. You got Notre Dame against Penn State. That's still like a coin flip to me. I mean, we talked about this the other day. We kind of sided with Notre Dame. But, you know, Penn State's had a hell of a year, man. And, you know, happening in Miami, anything can happen in Miami. See it go down.
Orange Bowl, baby.
See one, send one. Hard Rock now, right?
Yeah, but they still call it the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Oh, they do? Oh, yeah, right there.
Yeah, Yeah.
I should probably read. And then the Cotton Bowl, Ohio State, Texas. I think we're all favoring with – I was siding with maybe Texas covers, but Ohio State probably going to win this, probably the hottest team in the country right now.
Horns down, OH.
They just needed Michigan to smack them around a little bit, and then they kind of figured it out.
So, yeah, I think I think I asked you the other night, like, where do you lie right now?
Like, who am I wanting?
Because you were Bama, Georgia –
Michigan. Not so much Georgia. That was just betting wise. I'd say Michigan.
Michigan,
Alabama. Texas is definitely my number one team out of these four. If you were to ask me who I would want to win in Notre Dame, Penn State, it would be Notre Dame. Because don't get me wrong, seeing Penn State win in my life is nuts anyway, but I've never seen Notre Dame win anything in my life.
No, the way my brain works, like the winner of that game, like, can't win the championship.
No, they can't. No. That's why I think it's like
it like can't be done. Yeah,
like Ohio State.
I would love them to. I love Notre Dame, but like I like that. My brain doesn't work like that. I haven't seen it.
I just don't know how you look at these last four and you're like, bang, bang, bang. Like, how is an Ohio State like the?
No, like that team looks like the championship game, and that looks like the like fucking like bronze medal game. Yeah, like, that's what it looks like by like just like the teams that are in. And like Notre Dame has played as good football as anyone except maybe Ohio State. Like, they stand a chance of beating Penn State and beating whoever wins that game.
The play made the seedings look bad this year because all the teams that had a bye lost in the last round. So I don't know what they're gonna do to like fix it, or if they should just let it ride, because like maybe it'll be different next year. You know, just because you try something once and it doesn't work doesn't mean it doesn't work.
There's no fixing it.
Yeah.
There's going to be electric football games and there's going to be 50-point bloodbaths. That's college football. And that's going to happen for all of eternity.
And if you're a college football fan and you don't like chaos, like, why do I even want to be around?
Exactly. Yeah. No, like, there's going to be, like, it's, they're going to be fucking bloodbaths. Like Oregon was the number one team all year. They got killed.
Smoked. What was it? 34 none and a half?
How do you fix that? Like, what are you talking about?
They were hyping up Dylan Gabriel so much, a guy can't even throw like 5 yards.
Yeah, no.
Tough go. Excited to see some. Gonna be sitting on the couch watching football this weekend. Hopefully, win some money.
Yes.
Shout out Hedge Better. I also, before we conclude, we like to talk about TV movie reviews. Last night, it's a 2-part series on Netflix. The Jerry Springer doc was like unbelievable. It was insane. I won't give any spoilers, but like things you already knew. But like, when I was a kid, I literally thought it was all fake.
Oh no, those people are fucked, man.
Those are real stories.
Yeah,
like,
no,
that's real. When I watched it, I was like, wait, this is real.
No, they find them in the depths for that show, man. They go they find them.
No, they had a guy like dump his wife to marry a fucking horse. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Springer looks like abandoned in the whole like documentary. It's kind of the producers who get and the director who get like lashed.
Oh yeah, well yeah, Jerry's just on stage, man.
Yeah, like there's some like
Jerry's not finding the guy who leaves his wife for a horse. Like, like that's some other guy in the fucking. Well, behind
the other example, I mean, it's not like breaking news, but like some guy like murdered his wife over the whole thing, like over like an episode. Like that's what it's on. It's not a spoiler. Like, they're basically reviewing what happened.
Went down. It's like they shouldn't do that over the Jerry Springer show.
It's insane. Absolutely nuts.
It's like fucking 11 a.m. Fucking change the channel.
Two thumbs up though. A lot of those documentaries that they just make to make kind of suck, but that one was lights out. I suggest it. Yeah,
I do like that review just because, like, as you just said, like, there's so many fucking other like those like documentaries like that where like, and some of them just like I shouldn't waste my time.
And people like our age and like, you know, low 30s now, they don't really recall the 90s, you know, like it was yesterday type of thing. And like all that went down there. So all these incidents, like if you're my age or something, you don't really understand. And if you're in like your, you know, teens to 20s, like you don't know anything about this show. So it's quite the watch. What I was going to say too, they said too that like, oh, it died out after like 2008, but the show didn't get canceled till 2018. I'm like, well, the guy went on a 27 year run.
Yeah, hey, just like, that's it. Can't stop him.
This guy was in the zone for 27 years, and then unfortunately, 5 years after, he died of pancreatic cancer. But
damn shame.
Guy's crushing. Guy crushed. And we'll end on that note. Also, want to give a big shout out to the law office of Patrick J. Foley. You know, located 265 Willard Street. You need some, you know, law professional advice on to buy a home, or you know, like I said, just a good guy. Patrick J. Foley's your guy. Love that. Anything else from you?
Let's go. Happy big Wednesday. Weekend of sports. Big weekend of football. Let's go.
What's the national championship game set up to be right now for you?
Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Buckle up.
Get ready to go.
Horns down.
We'll see you next time.